Good evening and welcome to Hutton Orbital live from Studio 5. I'm Rudolf Hucker, your host for this evening, and we have the usual team here for headlines and hijinks throughout your evening. A complete set of April Fools, if you like.
I'm Harry Balzac, and I've broken out the colouring pens for those of you not watching in black and white.
I'm Wilma Fingerdew, and I'm looking forward to this evening's edition of the Galnet Rares Digest.
I'm the Apology Officer, and I'm really, really sorry, but you're all horrible people.
I'm One Care, and this week we're giving chicks a rest and not telling you about another one of Hutton's systems.
And I'm Norma Snuckers, and I've got lots to tell you.
In which case, it's time for the headlines. Bandits cornered as Hutton plans a heist.
It's party time at Fort Mugg.
Fear of Rolls out before Odyssey rollout.
Schrodinger's cat carrier.
Haydn Black Brew Book of Records, record stands.
Eridani election results are in.
And it's out with the old news, in with the new. More from the community.
First, tonight, the latest breaking news on the Frameshift Bandits. Yes, the crew run by the notorious ARF, after their incursions into planetary bases, have now gone into hiding. With the Pilots Federation having launched their first phase of on-foot forays onto planet surfaces, Hutton commanders have been congregating in the first licensed system, Adichan, which, as luck would have it, is just where the bandits have been hiding. There are a number of limitations, as the system is currently off-limits to all but authorised carrier services, something provided by Apex Interstellar, but from what we can tell, their pilots are made of some stern stuff, and happy to drop you into whatever trouble you feel like getting yourself into, and then picking you up whilst under fire just as readily, all for the princely sum of 100 credits. Arrival point in the system is labelled as Hopkins City, and permission has been granted to access the station interior for the first time, with services including bar, equipment purchase, and of course the booking desk for onward travel are all available. Hutton training teams have been scouring the enormous system for signs of the frameshift bandits, but with nearly 100 bases, outposts, and landable locations available, it was only on spotting the hastily scrawled graffiti Braben was ear on a wall in one high security location that we knew exactly where we should be looking. Desai Military Hub. Only a short supercruise from the arrival point is a heavily fortified compound. All those parts they've been robbing from other bases have likely been used to give it just that little bit something extra. We've already spotted skimmers, Goliaths, unsurprisingly they're quite big, and security patrols. There is a B site located on a nearby planet that we'll be investigating further, closer to Saturday's kickoff time, though at the moment it appears to be offline, on fire, and frequented by other members of the FSB team. So, truckers, our mission. Assemble at Hopkins at 2000 BST, 1900 UTC on Saturday evening. Break into teams, prepare our equipment, then make our way down to the base. We will be disguised as passing tourists, and all pilots are reminded to stow anything illegal somewhere secret. And of course, put your weapons away. At that point, having scouted the base, the plan is to break into the command building, disable the alarms, and then take back everything they stole. We will need infiltrators, combat cover, spotters, and decoys. If it all goes wrong, we'll probably also need shields and, yeah, maybe guns. But we're hoping to do it on the hush-hush. If engaged by the frameshift bandit combat team, we will, however, use whatever force is necessary to obtain and attain our objective. Bring your best camouflage, your best innocent face, come tooled up for war, and of course, make sure your pockets are empty to carry everything back to the waiting shuttles. See you on Saturday, truckers, and remember, don't breathe a word of this to the frameshift bandits. Loose lips, sink ships.
Following in the footsteps of Commander Star-Lord Prime, who, back in 3303, brought every rear that existed at the time to Hutton, all 128, in an asp of all things, in an effort to find something that could be used to cure Cecil's hangover. There'll be hangovers aplenty in Fort Mugg today, after Commander Naughty Body Wash turned up yesterday with his anaconda named Super Snake. If that's not compensating for something, I don't know what is. And supplied Hot Call HQ with a cornucopia of rare items. A Hutton mug, Centauri Mega Gin, Listerine Evil Juice, some Medbay Star Lube, some that even Amelia Hawk hasn't tried yet. All in all, one of every available rare from the bubble, plus the Jax Quintinian still from Colonia, that's 128 rare items in total. They say that they hope that these toys will give the ground crew at Fort Mugg some good times while they're on their coffee and gin breaks. Personally, I think it's all very well and generous bringing a one of everything, but what happens when that's used up? Perhaps there's a museum of curiosities showing the rarest and most unusual items in the galaxy. This might explain why it's situated at Hanky Central. Apparently, Naughty Body Wash needs to give a big hand to Commanders Taran 4295, Snart, and her own Buck Naked. But we say what pilots do in the privacy of their own lounge is their business.
A rumour started earlier this week that since pilots could now visit the shops in person, that certain items might become scarce. Queues started to form around the starport, and curiously also around the penal colonies. Have you ever seen such luxury for prisoners? As pilots started stocking up on bio-waste clean-up packs and tea, not only the traditional kind, but as that started to run out, people could be seen to jump, crouch, run around in circles, stare at the roof, and bang into walls as they tried to obtain ceremonial Haiki tea, Ethgrez tea buds, Fujin tea, Machuko's high tea, and probably too late to do them any good, Tanmark Tranquil tea. Authorities have now limited pilots to two such items in any one visit, and given the travel times between places in an Apex taxi. It's unlikely they'll be back anytime soon. And the list also inexplicably includes food cartridges, grain, and domestic appliances that have a less than 4-star rating. Please remember that this is early days for the walking about pass, and we are reassured that stocks of essential items will be arriving on the shelves any day, as soon as the 25-page forms for each individual item have been filled out.
It's all the fault of Quantum. Commander Lutzi recently found himself the victim of a subatomic particle's little joke. Much along the lines of making all the molecules in the hostess's undergarments leap simultaneously 1 foot to the left. The hapless commander was resting quietly in one of the bays aboard a fleet carrier, listening to music, chatting to a fellow commander aboard the transport, dozing, basically just relaxing as the carrier's countdown progressed and reached zero. It's at this point in time that things became different. Lutzi was still aboard the carrier, but it hadn't moved. Except that it had, according to his companion in chat, by 500 light years. Checking the calendar to make sure that it wasn't the start of the fourth month, the day when japes and tomfoolery abound, Lutzi found that in a strange reversal of Pauli's exclusion principle, the fleet carrier actually existed in two places at once. A bit like the result of some kind of transporter accident, and he fervently hoped that he wouldn't suffer the fate of Tuvix and have to be ripped apart molecule by molecule. Desperate for this quantum leap to end with him getting home, he tried launching from his copy of the carrier, which was uneventful, then docked again, at which point he was apparently attacked by a scarlet crate and everything went black. On returning to consciousness, he found, yes, you guessed it, it was only a dream. Maybe he'd sleepwalked off the fleet carrier, maybe the gods do first make mad those whom they wish to destroy. But in any case, he was alone in space, 500 light-years from the carrier, in a Type 9 with an 11.9 light-year jump range. We are still waiting to hear the final fate of this commander. Oh boy.
In an attempt to prove once again, as if there was any doubt at all, that Hutton Truckers are the nuttiest pilots in the galaxy, the Prof V, formerly a well-known prophet and pilot of the original Hot Bus, took it upon himself to attempt to break the galactic Newtonian speed record. Yes, going faster than 34,526 meters per second whilst plummeting to the ground at speed. This feat can't be accomplished by just pointing at a high gravity world, hitting boost, and then hoping you can pull up before you become part of the geography. It requires a complex series of calculations to get your speed engineered ship to the maximum height above a planet, at which point there's enough gravity to start your attempt, and then firing thrusters to put you into a decaying orbit around the planet. Once start velocity has been achieved, 4,000 meters per second at an altitude of around 9 megameters above a 9.77G world, the Prof pointed his nose to the skies, his arse to the ground, and in a mammoth 7-hour effort, balanced his ship in exactly the right configuration to speed around the planet, using its gravity to provide constant acceleration. Buffeted by solar winds from two nearby stars, he threaded his ship down the narrow corridor of maximum acceleration, achieving an early efficiency rating of over 99.89% compared to the theoretical maximum. Working the thrusters to maintain balance, he accelerated to a speed faster than Apollo 10, passed the speed of Voyager 1, and then started crossing off his list of famous stellar bodies. He went faster than Pluto, faster than Neptune, then Uranus, no sniggering please, before settling into speeds that overtook the orbital speeds of Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, and then finally, on passing 30,000 meters per second, the orbital speed of the home of humanity. The solar winds were heavy, and the number of gusts dropped his efficiency below the 98% mark, but he battled bravely right down to only 20 kilometers above the surface before rotating his ship and attempting to pull out of the dive. His final speed, 34,107 meters per second, only a few hundred short of the all-time record, and a personal best by quite some margin. Unfortunately, when attempting to pull back out of the planet's gravity at those breakneck speeds, he attempted to jump into supercruise, forgetting that his current speed was actually already faster than the slowest possible supercruise speed. His engine overheated, and he experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Prof V has stated that he will be trying the speed marathon once again on another date, but the level of focus required is such that he'll be doing something peaceful, like a quick afternoon run to Beagle Point and back, or an elite feat foot race against Mitter and Hollow, just to keep himself in trim.
In Epsilon Eridani, the mad monks of Van Marnen Rebellion has backfired. Their all-in gamble has failed, as they lost both the election in a 4-0 landslide trouncing and Liner Weaver Station into the bargain to the truckers. Well done to those who ran missions, ballot stuffed, traded, gerrymandered, irrationally demanded recounts, and dumped exploration data to boost Hutton influence and help win the election. Given that many truckers have been issued new shiny legs to exercise with this week, it was somewhat of a surprise to see that there were no adverse states in any system. None. Like a spring sky, blue across the board. Or is that purple? One minor cloud on the horizon is the civil unrest brewing in Wolf 359. Has the dastardly Don had his supply of moustache wax interdicted again? Who knows, but jump in there and ventilate some pirate scum to vacuum to help out. Five systems, the usual suspects, are wallowing below 40%. Barnard Star, Wolf 1481, Y0855-0714, Kakari and Epsilon Indy, which is still in recovery after the Mad Monk's nefarious plot. These five systems really need a 10% boost into the 40s to end the perpetual influence locking as the minor factions squabble amongst themselves. Meanwhile, in the dizzying heights that are the top end of the Hutton System League, eight systems, yes, eight, a third of them are chewing the scenery with their overachieving act again. We only need to expand from one system, folks. Keep them down below 60, please. Being the practitioners of planned expansion that we are, expansion was triggered from LHS 340 and commanders are working on a second attempt at moving into Wolf 562. So work to push down LP734-32 company for when expansion occurs on Sunday. Work for Wolf 562 first, or Wolf Major, or against LP734-32 company. In Colonia, Grand Poobah Hanky requests that Colonia-based truckers work in Deriso and Tyr for hot coal, but do not work in Pytheas, as this is currently too high. We still need to leave Hotel Carson and Ari, where complaints of running in the corridors in the early hours of the morning have been received, presumably as commanders try out their new legs. Hotton were down to single figures, but are now rising, no doubt, to cause trouble with the controlling player factions. So priorities this week are: in Wolf 562, drop exploration data and run missions for Wolf 562 first, or Wolf Major, to their outpost Faris Gateway, or generally work against LP734-32 company. Boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star, Wolf 1481, Y0855-0714, and Epsilon Eridani. If you want to shoot something, shoot pirates in Wolf 359 or LP734-32 company ships in Wolf 562. We still need to exit Carson and Ari, so help any of the factions there except Hutton. Or, alternatively, bugger it all and carry on playing the Odyssey Alpha.
Here's the news of events run by the community for the community. Eros Maidlung's thematically directed dirigible is in the doldrums this week. He said something about stretching his legs and skipping round with Babster. Please don't tell the carrier as it'll get jealous. And the FTM Isfahan is fueled and ready to go to their next destination, roughly east. In the first of our two reports from very different galactic exploration events, Commander Mephisto sends this report. The third weekly update from the Comfy Cannon Cruise comes from Waypoint 13, over 11,000 light-years away from Sol. Regarding the sciences on planets, small brain trees, fumaroles and gas vents were visited. Premiers were bark mounds, woof, and peduncle trees. There were more Lagrange clouds, including the first stormy one, also containing our first peduncle trees, and in them more crystals, mollusks and anomalies. Congratulations go to the passenger, Commander Bellinger, who got his elite exploration rank. The first tritium refill was done in only a few hours, thanks to the enthusiastic support of the passengers. And it was celebrated in a stock signed wider free-for-all in a planetary ring, which ensued in a fun night of pew-pew, later with any ship at hand. Salutes go to Commander English for his glorious return to the Khonshu over 9,000 light-years. He thought he would spawn at the fleet carrier if he opted not to rebuy his upgraded cider, so that he would be prepared for the next Sidewinder battle. But that only got him a fast ride back to the bubble and 200 jumps to go back. Keep up with their progress at bit.ly/ED3C. And now an update from Commander Huntier on the much less luxurious 5 Euro tour. The fleet is about halfway point to our expedition now, nearing a total of 1 million light years after over 15,000 jumps and almost 100,000 planets have been scanned. We've lost 10 commanders on our trip, of which one was eaten alive by a white dwarf in orbit of the World of Death. We plan to reach Sagittarius A by next week. Some pilots are reportedly suffering from space madness, claiming they've seen star clusters in the shape of cubes and triangles. They're everywhere, they said. Information on this expedition can be found at bit.ly/5eurotours. Though, like the Comfy Cannon Cruise, we suspect it's a little late to join up unless you can find a friendly fleet carrier owner with nothing better to do. Finally, Commander Valoran has organised a mysterious event. We've no idea what it could be. After all, with a title like Baz's Big Bubble Banter Bus Anniversary Tour, how are we supposed to guess? Oh, all right, yes, it's pretty obvious that this is a way for us to show Baz how much his banter bus exploits have meant to so many of us, and to express the hope that in the not-too-distant future that he can lead us once again in a brand new bus to adventures in time and space. Well, space mostly, but it will take up some time, so that's all I'm going to say on the subject. Commander Valoran has sent this message. Truckers, in 1 month's time, it will be a year since many of us embarked on Baz's Big Bubble Banter Bus. Sights were seen, friendships were made, and we all gained a new appreciation for the game. To mark the first anniversary of this historic event, we will be taking a one-week mini-tour to some of the places that stood out from the original event and a few new adventures. Join us in-game on the TeamSpeak. The event will be nightly, departing from Hill Pass High, starting on Monday 26th of April. Fleet carrier services will be available at each destination. For the banter, for the bus, for the mug. We agree 100% and add hashtag for the Grand Baz. That's all for this week, and please remember to get in touch if you have any news events coming up.